Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
And good Monday morning, everybody. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. We are going to jump right into this Monday morning message, and I hope that you're bushy-eyed and what is it, bushy-tailed and wide-eyed or something like that. I hope you're awake because we're going to get into something I believe is a revelation from the Holy Spirit, and every saint of God needs to be prepared for what we're going to talk about today. So if you're ready, make sure you call a friend, tell somebody right now, give them a little chat, a bing, a bada, boom, whatever it takes. Tell them to wake up and let's get going. We have a journey ahead of us. We are the ecclesia in the earth. We have a job to do while we're here. And the Father wants to get a terrific amount of information to us that will become inward reformation, that will become a transformation, that will actually bring about a conforming into the image of the firstborn son. You heard what I said. Let's go. So here's where we're going to begin today. And this is some serious business. I'm going to read an article. And this article is only designed to do one thing. This is designed to set the pace for where we're going to go today. And it's very revealing. Okay, so let me read this article. It's all about the deep state. And the article begins with boom. That's right, boom. The real Russian collusion conspiracy. The FBI, the DOJ, and the DNC all sought dirt on Trump from former MI6 agent Steele while he was being paid by Russians. Now watch this. You may be familiar, you may not be familiar, but here's the story. The DNC, FBI, and the DOJ all sought dirt on presidential candidate and then President Donald J. Trump. They were willing to work with UK or the United Kingdom MI6 agent Christopher Steele, who was also working with Russians at the same time. This is the real Russia collusion story. Former MI6 agent Christopher Steele was all over the news over the past few years for providing and promoting the fake Trump Russia dossier to the Hillary campaign, the DNC, the FBI, and the DOJ. With information now known, it becomes clear that Steele was paid by the Russians while he was pushing the fake Russia dossier to the Democrat and deep state complex. This is the Russia collusion story. The efforts by the corrupt Hillary campaign and the DNC and the U.S. government's DOJ and FBI to obtain dirt on Donald Trump, even if it was made up by Russians. These efforts were the real Russian collusion. As usual, liberals work with Russians in this effort, as also work with the Russians in their criminal actions related to Uranium One, and thereby committed the acts they blamed on President Trump, proving again that they are the greatest projectionist in U.S. history. We now know that former UK MI6 agent Steele first came on the scene in early 2016, and his actions were related to Russia, but not as portrayed by the media. Based on the DOJ's Ors, O-H-R-S is the man's name, emails, Ors emails, and text messages released last week, Steele was communicating with the DOJ's Or long before the 2016 election. Steele's first communications with Or related to request on behalf of a Russian oligarch who was closely connected to Russian President Putin, Byron York reported. And here's the report. The emails given to Congress by the Justice Department began on January 12, 2016, when Steele sent Orr a New Year's greeting. Steele brought up the case of Russian aluminum magnate Oleg Deripaska, referred to in various emails as both OD and OVD. And I don't blame him with a name like that. Anyways, continuing on, who was at the time seeking a visa to attend an Asia-Pacific Economic Corporation meeting in the United States. Years earlier, the U.S. revoked Deripaska's visa, reportedly on the basis of suspected involvement with Russian organized crime. Deripaska was close to Paul Manafort, the short-term Trump campaign chairman, now on trial for financial crimes, and this year was sanctioned in the wake of Russian involvement in the 2016 presidential election. All right, so that was the report by Byron York. Steele wasn't requesting changes to the legal status for his Russian friend out of the kindness of his heart. Steele obviously was being paid, and probably handsomely. Next, and at the same time, the FBI, DOJ, and the Hillary campaign all worked with Steele as he produced the fake Russia dossier and document that Steele himself said cannot be corroborated. D. Manny at Politics Central notes that, D. Manny at Politics Central notes that because of Steele's relationship with Deripaska, it might be more accurate to call the Steele dossier the Deripaska dossier. Also ask, did the FBI terminate Steele's relationship not because of him leaking to the press, which the FBI and all the deep state do so consistently, but rather because they realized the liability Steele was because of the relationship with Deripaska. So let me rush through this. Okay, I'm going to just stop right there with this article. What is the point of this article? It's something that Giuliani, one of the president's attorneys, along with Jay Sekulow presently, said over the weekend that truth is not the truth. And it's a big deal right now. And what we're talking about is nobody really knows what the heck is going on, okay? Truth comes out, light comes out, exposure comes out, and there's always a twist. And in articles like the one that I'm reading right now, everybody's putting the blame on Trump for the Russian collusion while the Russian collusion's going on over here. What is it with articles like these that we need to know about? Well, I want to go back to the very beginning of time into a place called the Garden of Eden, where there was a serpent who was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field. And I want you to know something about this serpent, that his subtlety, or his, in the Hebrew, arum, means that he was shrewd, he was crafty, he was sensible, and he was prudent. You don't normally think of a crook being that way, but the children of the darkness are more wise than the children in light in their generation. There's a shrewdness, there's a prudence, there is a trickery, there's a subtlety involved. What do you and I need to know about the moment that we're living in? And again, there's been deception in the world from the beginning of time, but I want to run through a number of verses. I want to take this rather slowly, so be patient with me. And I want to just share one verse after another that hopefully will catch your attention and let you know what we're going to continue to talk about today. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 6, verse 9, and I know that you all trust the word of God to be true, and that is a very good thing. But very simply, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." And I'm going to stop right there. Be not deceived. Now, in the same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, the Apostle Paul continues to speak to the people of his generation, and this is what he says in verse 33. And let me just pick it up here. As I said, be patient with me. We have a point. We're going to get somewhere. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15, 33, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." So in Corinthians, Paul says, first of all, in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, don't be deceived. The unrighteous are not going to inherit the kingdom of God, period. Don't be deceived about that matter. Number two, he says, be not deceived. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. You hang out with the wrong people, it's going to corrupt the good conduct of a born-again Christian. And don't be deceived about that. Don't you think for a second that you could hang out with, okay, or intimate with the unrighteous and be okay. You cannot be okay. Don't be deceived by Galatians. Let's look over at Galatians chapter 6, and we want to look at verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Be not deceived. That's the simple fact. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. This is the way it is. 2 Timothy, it's going to get a little deeper here, but I just want you to know that your Bible, the authors of the scriptures, which is ultimately the Holy Spirit, they have a message for you and I. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, here's what we are told. "But evil men," 2 Timothy 3:13, "but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now, he's talking about the last days here. He's talking about the end times. As time gets closer and closer to the end, as the end of the ages come to their climax, there is an end to this sin-sick world. There is an end to man's government on this earth. There is an end to corruption and deceit and defilement and depravity. There is an end. And we're racing with accelerated speed. The nations of the earth are racing with hyper supersonic speed, faster than the speed of light, towards that end. It's been a long time, but everything is rushing into that end reality. And what will happen the closer to the end we get is the deception is going to get greater. People will be deceiving others while they themselves are being deceived. There will be self-deception. There will be people believing lies about heaven and eternal life and who's going into the kingdom. And, you know, that I could do this and it's okay. Well, the scriptures are warning everybody, everyone who believes in the Lord and believes in the Bible to be the revelation of the truth of God's heart. Be careful. Now, watch this. Let's get even a little deeper here, because this is where the rubber starts meeting the road. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. It says, "And the great dragon," that's the same serpent that was in the Garden of Eden. Let's be clear about that. "The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent," and that's what was in the Garden of Eden in chapter 3, that old serpent, "called the devil and Satan," watch now, "which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." All right, so we have a formidable foe here that operates in prudence, sensibility, shrewdness, craftiness, and this devil, this Satan, this old serpent, this great dragon, deceives the whole world. Do not underemphasize that. I want to go to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16, and I want to read verse 14. And it says here, listen, this is what's happening right now. I believe this with all my heart. Maybe I need to go up a little bit. Let's go to verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. The water thereof was dried up, the way the kings of the east might be prepared. But listen to this. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. Now remember, the great dragon is the one that deceives the whole world. And out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, this unholy trinity. For they, these three frogs, they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So these are what? Devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. Now, what are these devils doing? Well, they are going forth to deceive through the false prophet, through the dragon, through the beast. These are spirits of deception. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, which is right before Peter. 1 John chapter 5. Why do I always get that going here? Did I say before Peter? I meant right after Peter. So 1 John chapter 5, and let's look at verse 19. 1 John 5 and 19, and here's what we read. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, the whole world is lying in what? Wickedness. How? Through deception. Let's go now to Jesus's end time scenario in Matthew chapter 24. Again, some very powerful scriptures to beware of. Matthew 24, verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Look at verse 11 of Matthew chapter 24. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Look at verse 24. This is a kaboom right here. Matthew 24, 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Let's go to Romans chapter 16. The very elect of God can be deceived by this end time principality, these frog demons that are going to the kings of the earth to deceive them. You think these people that are in control know what the heck they're doing? They don't know what they're doing. They're under such a spell of Jezebel. They don't know what's going on. But let's see. Romans chapter 16, verse 18 says, for they that are such, now what? Let's go to 17. You got to get this. Romans 16, 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works, or listen, or by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. Good words, fair speeches. Now let's take a look at Revelation chapter 13. This is going to be the last verse on this. Revelation 13, verse 14. And this is all about that second beast. And here's what it says. According to this word in Revelation 13, 14, I better go back just a little bit here to 13. All right, verse 13 says, "And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast." And what does he do again? He deceives them that dwell on the earth. All right. I believe, and that word deceive, by the way, has many meanings to it, to cause, to roam from truth, to seduce, to roam from safety, error. There's a lot to that whole thing. It is a seduction. It is to be brought into a lie. And so there is ample evidence in the Word of God, particularly to the people of God, bewaring them of being deceived. Now, somebody once said that the best way to tell a counterfeit bill is to know the truth. To know the truth. How many of you believe that's true? Well, I believe that's true. John 8:32 says this, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Free from what? From the deception that is going to come all over the world. John 8:40 says, "But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." That's Jesus talking to his generation. And then in 8:44, Jesus says this to the religious leaders of his day, "You are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth." So the problem at the very beginning is that he did not abide in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now Jesus said in verse 45 of John chapter 8, "And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." You see how it works? When you're so steeped in deception and somebody tries to tell you the truth, you can't even believe the truth because you're steeped in deception. That's why wandering from the truth could be a really bad deal. Okay, John 8:46, "Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" Let's go all the way to John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." No man, no Buddhist, no Muslim, no Jew, no man, no atheist, no agnostic, no man comes to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So all this conversation, remember, unless you come to Jesus Christ, you are not declared righteous. And we were told, don't be deceived. The unrighteous will not inherit the earth or the kingdom of God. Again, truth. Jesus is the truth. He's not talking about truth. He is the truth. And then in John 14, 17, Jesus said, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world," listen, "cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you." John 15, 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me." John 16, 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Jesus said, "It was expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." And then verse 13 of John 16, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." And then John 17, 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus is the Word of God, It is truth. The Holy Spirit is the witness to the truth. And then, of course, John 17:19. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Sanctified, set apart. Set apart from what? Set apart from the error, the seduction, the trickery, the deceit, unto, separated unto the truth, unto God. And so there's, again, ample evidence of this battle. And I believe what we are witnessing, you turn on CNN, the Communist News Network, and you turn on Fox News, and what do you hear? You hear this word war going on, and it is a contrast. It's black and white in its difference, and there's no unity in it. And there's this word war going on. And remember in Revelation 12, the sign that we had last year on September 23rd, that's the Revelation 12 constellation that's set up perfectly. And in Revelation 12, it talks about Michael and his angels fighting and the dragon and his angels. They're all fighting in the second heaven. Well, if you can envision right now in that spiritual dimension that your natural eye cannot see, that there's a battle going on between Michael and his angels and the devil and his angels. And as they're battling out, we're witnessing it manifest on earth in this word war, this battling that's going on. And we know that truth is going to win out because the Bible says that the darkness has never overcome the light and deceptions will never overcome the truth. If you have the truth, deception will not overtake you. But man, even the elect can be deceived if possible. And that possibility would be they turn away from the truth. Well, don't ever turn away from the truth that you know. Jesus Christ is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the truth. And in these word wars, people are looking at them. They're confused. They don't know what's going on because, quite frankly, both Fox News and CNN are both sides of the same tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And basically, that's just part of what's going on, this conflict. The conflict between the Democrats on the far left and the conflict between the Republicans. There's conflict everywhere. Jesus said there would be a turmoilous nation of human beings on this earth in the last days. The sea and the waves roaring, that out of this turmoilous sea would come great beasts or governmental powers. I mean, we're in it right now, folks. We're not waiting for something to come. We are in it, and it is deep. And what we know is that the lie will be exposed and cast down to the earth, and then the rage of the liar will begin. You know, when people are exposed for being liars, they get angry at you. I had opportunity about 3 weeks ago to sit in the house of a man to tell him, hey, you got to stop lying. And he told me to get the hell out of his house. And I thought to myself, wow, that angry demon was protecting that lying spirit quite some time. But I want you to know that if you are steeped in a lie, if you're defending a lie, if you're protecting a lie, eventually it's going to be exposed. And when the devil, the liar, is exposed, he is going to rage, like Revelation chapter 12 says. And he's going to come after the church. He's going to come after everything representing God. And he's actually going to be given power for 3.5 years to hit it heavy, folks, to really hit it heavy. So what do we do? Well, we better stay in the truth. And I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, all right? It says, and I'll explain why I'm reading this in just a moment. Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds. That's what you and I possess. We have these weapons to pull down strongholds of deception and lies and trickery and deceit. We're the ones, the people of the light. We're the children of light. We have the governing authority and anointing to expose the darkness. And we're leaving it to Fox News. Come on. Well, listen, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, here's the key. And having in a readiness, and this literally means that you, see, this is what God wants you to know. This is a personal word for you, okay? God wants you to have a readiness. He wants you to be fit and adjusted. In other words, when the fitness, When you're poised and you're ready and you're adjusted properly and you're fit, he wants you to have in a readiness to revenge. Yes, that word revenge is a very telling word. It means to retaliate and punish. And I think a lot of the saints are wanting to retaliate and punish this ridiculousness that's going on in the world. But he says, I want you to stand ready, fit, prepared, adjusted in the Greek, and to punish, to strike back, to retaliate against what? All disobedience. But there's only one time you could do that, when your obedience is fulfilled. There is coming a time when is going to be an end time army. It's not going to be fat. It's not going to be flabby. It's not going to be ill-adjusted. It's not going to be out of whack. It is not going to be passive. The end time intense saints of God are going to be so well-adjusted. They're in alignment with the head of the body, Jesus Christ. They are in order. They are set. They're not movable. And they are fit. It's an end time fit army. You don't see the special forces all fat and flabby. They are well trained. They are fit. They are ready to go. And they go on special assignments. And when the end time army of God gets themselves right and stops messing around with the world, the flesh, and the devils, and stops going in and out and stop acting like they're not the champions of the world, they got to start being obedient. And when our obedience is fulfilled and we've come to that place of maturity, then we are going to be released to retaliate against all the disobedience in this world. See, God has a plan for his end time army. God has a plan. But that means every trial that you are engaged in and I am engaged in right now, every trial is designed by God to get us fit. Every trial is designed to get us ready, because God desires for you and I to start pulling down strongholds in our intercessory prayer, in our spiritual warfare. We're not just observers of what's going on. We're in direct contact with what's happening. Our prayers are literally an empowerment to the angels of God, believe it or not. Our intercession, our righteousness, our holiness is an empowerment to the kingdom of heaven. And we are no good to the kingdom of heaven as long as we're not interceding, we're not praying, we're not fit, we're not ready, we're not getting built up, we're not strong, we're not obedient, we're not righteous, we're not putting on holiness. I mean, if we're fat and flabby, sassy like cats sitting around waiting for something to happen, we're of no use. God wants you and I to be getting engaged in this battle. He wants us to engage in every bit of it, because we're the ones that have the truth. And everybody on the planet is getting deceived. And even Christians are deceived that aren't the very elect. And then there are the very elect that could possibly be deceived. That's how powerful deception is. How do you know if you're deceived? The only way to know deception is to know the truth. And anything that comes against the truth is a lie. And sometimes these things are wrapped up in pretty little packages, and they have oozing sermonettes over them about how oozing good and soft and sensual and compassionate and loving and kind. Oh, it looks so Jesus, but it's an absolute putrefied lie. And you better know the difference, and I better know the difference between the truth and a lie. Because there's a lot of Christian feminism. There's a lot of Christian effeminism that's going on in the body of Christ. And people are all caught up in what feels good and what's soft and kind and compassionate and loving. Oh, we're such Jesus people. But it's a contradiction to your reality of the heart of most people. Inwardly, they're wretched liars. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They're blasphemers. They're unclean, corrupt, defiled at every level. And yet they want to pretend that they're Christians outwardly, being all kind and saucy. Well, I got news for you. That's not the reality. It's about time to tell the truth on ourselves so we're not going to be caught in the lie of the times that we're in. I'm telling you, it's serious, man. And once you get caught in a lie, it is hard to get out of it. I mean, once you allow the influence of a deception, a lie, to come on you, to break out of it is almost impossible. And that's why lies, people get caught into lies, and they want to believe something because the lie was intended to draw out the covetousness in your own heart. And when we get deceived by some smooth-talking salesman, this subtle serpent, he's playing on some area inside of us that he could hook us in. And we go after it, and that's why you read in Jude and you read in 2 Peter. I mean, you know, let's go there and see how these guys do it. 2 Peter talks about it everywhere in chapter 2. It goes on and says little things like this, and I want to get back to listen to this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. Then over in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. In other words, these are the people that are they have covetousness. They have inward wantonness. They have desire. And so they take the bait of a good liar, of somebody that's good, and they swallow it. And now you got to, you know, did you ever catch a fish and just want to get that lure out of its mouth? How difficult it is. You know how hard it is to get a hook out of someone's soul? Man, that's really difficult, because a lot of times you're seeing a lot of blood come out of the fish's mouth because you got to rip it. That hook is in there so deep, you got to unhook that thing. And the mind continually reverts back. Well, what if it's true? What if it's true? I don't want to miss the big reward if it's true. Well, I got news for you. It ain't true. It's a lie from the pit of hell if it's not rooted in the Word of God. And there are people, I'm telling you, it's a warning from the Spirit of God. We've got to be careful. All right, that's it. 36, I'm going to open the telephone lines. I want to talk about truth and deception. And I want to hear from the body of Christ. I want to know if anybody out there is even tuned in and listening to this broadcast. The number to call is 818-369-0326. What about the understanding that governments are under the spell of these frogs? What about the reality that everybody in the whole world that is not truly born again into the truth of Jesus, not good people, smooth-talking people. Remember, the devil's not coming with horns and a pitchfork. He's coming with the smoothest tongue, with the most charismatic look, with the most cleaned up, beautiful. I mean, he's not going to stand at your door, you know, with his teeth falling out because he's a drug addict, with ripped clothes, dirty clothes, skinny as a rail, and saying, hey, I want to tell you some truth. No, he's going to be a polished politician. He's going to be a newscaster with a suit. He's going to be a pastor from behind a pulpit. He's going to be involved and look good and sound good. He's got to, if he's going to get you. The devil is, man, he was able to deceive from the beginning of the time, and at the end of time, he's going to deceive this whole world. And you know one of the sources he's going to use? He's going to use sorcery, drugs, witchcraft. Let's take our first call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Where the scriptures say that a tree shall be known by its fruit, you know, we have to know what that is. You know, the fruits of the Holy Spirit or the fruits of the wicked one. And where the scripture was mentioned earlier about that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth, we have the Holy Spirit. And if we don't and we desire it, that must be, but we would look at the tree of a person's life and go, well, what fruit am I seeing?
Amen. Excellent point. And you know, a lot of people, you could tell by what people listen to, what people give their ear to. And if you're watching things that are filled with the world, flesh, and devils, you're probably opening yourself up to a lie. Mm-hmm. So yes, I agree. It's the fruit of the Spirit that basically you could tell the difference. Excellent mm-hmm. point. Thank you so very much.
All right.
I appreciate
Shalom.
That. Shalom. God bless you. And, you know, by the way, when we talk about this intense spiritual battle going on between light and darkness, truth and error, you know, God has set in the church watchmen and prophets. And the design of the watchman and the prophet is to declare the truth of God in light of what they see coming down the pike. It's a very serious issue. And when the darkness gets so dark, how many of you know that as a watchman or a prophet, man, you've really got to peer into, you've really got to look into that darkness and see the images, because it's so dark, it's hard to see. So, you know, the genuine watchmen, genuine prophets, pray for them that their eyes will be wide open and God will reveal every trick of the devil, every scheme of the devil, so that the watchmen and the prophets could declare to the people of God what they see and what they know. Let's take our next call. And remember, if you're dialing into the program, all you need to do is press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll make sure that I bring you into the broadcast. Let's take our next call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You are on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. How are you doing
Pastor.
Today?
I'm good, sir. What you got for us today?
You know, the question has been asked for centuries, what is the truth? And philosophers and people have been arguing that point over and over and over again. You know, there's a simple answer to it, and the truth is the Word of God. But even like you said, even in the scriptures, even the elect will be deceived. Now, that really means that not only do we know that we need to know what the Bible says, but we need to have tremendous insight into the Bible, tremendous discernment. And the only way that we can do that is if we have the Holy Spirit and really know the Holy Spirit, who will lead us and guide us. And we'll have to go ahead and depend upon him for those answers. So we really need to be born again as well and have the Holy Spirit with us, or we don't stand a chance on being deceived. And that's something that we have to really consider and really pray and really know. So that's kind of my answer on that one, talking about the truth. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great comment. And you know that scripture, Matthew 24, says, in so much that if possible, they shall deceive the very elect. It doesn't necessarily say that the very elect will be deceived. It says, if possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And I would imagine that the only reason that the very elect would be deceived if they turn themselves away from the truth, if they begin to pull out of the Word of God and begin to embrace other thoughts, ideas, methods, methodologies, sermons of people, rather than getting it directly from the Word of God for themselves. I believe it is imperative that every individual take this Bible seriously and study it and read it and learn it and get into it. And then as you're studying it and you happen to see things going on in the world, you could actually point out through the Word of God, there's deception, there's a lie, that's not the truth. And the enemy will do everything in his power to deceive the elect of God by getting them to drawing them away. And that's what deception is, to draw into error, to draw or cause one to roam away from safety. And so, yes, it's not a time where you could just kind of wander around hunky-dory, whoop-a-doo. It's not that kind of a time. It is time to put on the full armor of God and have the mind of Christ and have the Word of God so written, downloaded in your spirit, in your heart, like the Ten Commandments on stone. This Word of God must be deep on the inside of us, and not just the Word of God that tends toward our denominational influence. The Word of God is so broad beyond our little sectarian walls and churches that we live in. I don't care how great the preacher is, there is a responsibility for every individual to study the Word of God for themselves, because church denominations preach denominational theology. And if you're stuck in denominational theology, you're going to be limited in your box. And when the great big deception comes and you don't have the full artillery and ammunition because you don't have the full counsel of God's Word, you're going to be in trouble. The Apostle Paul said he did not shun to preach the full counsel of the Word of God.
Points. Really good points. And I, one of the things that I think that we do is really know the Word of God, like you are bringing it up. You're bringing multiple points up, and these multiple points will lead you to the truth. And that's the only way we're going to be able to go ahead and do that. Secondly, on here, we're going to need to know we really need to be cleaned ourselves and get rid of the sin nature that is in us, because that's an open door for Satan to come in with deception. So the cleaner we are, the closer we are to God, the more knowledge we have of God, the more we will be able to detect any issues along those lines. So that's something that we all have to do in order to avoid that deception.
Well, that goes directly with 2 Corinthians chapter 6 about standing in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And that's an excellent point. And we are a government. And what the ecclesia needs to know is that we are God's government in the earth, and we are stewarding the power of the kingdom of God. And the sword of truth, is what we use in our spiritual warfare with the satanic kingdoms of this world. The ecclesia, the called out believers unto Jesus Christ, who have been brought into the kingdom, they've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, they have been brought into the kingdom of his dear son, and there is our government where we wield our sword. Let's take another call coming in right now, coming in from area code 479-586. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, Pastor, this is Bill. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, Bill. How are you?
Real good. You nailed it earlier when you were talking about the wussification or the sissification or the effeminate and feminism of the male and the masculinity and even the women. I was watching a debate yesterday with a Christian creationist against three atheists. He took on three atheists at one time, and all three of them were college professors. And one of the college professors said, "Well, I don't know how you can look at a brand new little baby and say that this baby has sin in it." He said, that to me, who would want to worship a God like that to say that that baby has sin in it? And you know, anybody that's born again knows the answer to that question, okay? But the point is he was going by his feelings. What made him feel good or what didn't made him not feel good? And then one of the other ones, he claimed to be and professed Christianity as his faith, right? But during the debate, he said, "Well, I can't really say what I want to say because normally I use pretty colorful language, so I'll just say I don't want to step in it." Okay, and I'm thinking, okay, back up, wait a second. You don't want to say what you want to say because you use colorful language, but you're going to say I don't want to step in it. But at the same time, out of the same breath, you said I'm a Christian. Okay, there's an oxymoron, there's a dichotomy, there's a deception that's going on there. Both of those men are deceived. One of those men is deceived totally. The other one is deceived by his feelings or his inward nature of what he thinks is right or wrong, not what God says is right or wrong. And I don't know, but it just seemed. And then there was another one, another example. Colonel Ralph News all the time, but now he jumped over to CNN and MSNBC and all that because he said Fox was in the tank for Trump. Okay. Well, who are they in the tank for? Okay, you're either supporting good or you're supporting evil. All right, so which is it, Colonel Peters? You were against Obama, but you're also against Trump? Okay, who are you for? Well, I'm for the Lord Jesus Christ, personally. I don't worry about what I can't control. I'll focus on him and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto me. And like you quoted earlier in John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to guide and direct you into all truth, and he will declare to you things that are to come. So if you focus on that and focus on God and his righteousness, then you don't have to worry about all this other stuff. You're bringing it out excellent-wise. because people need to know what's going on. They need to see the deception, or at least hear the deception, so they can make an intellectual choice based on what they're hearing. So you're doing the right thing by bringing it out. But if they seek God first and His righteousness, then the Holy Spirit will guide and direct them into all truth. I'll listen to your comment on the air, Pastor. Have a blessed day.
All right, very good. Well said. And again, this is the battle, and many people that, and here's a reality check, okay? This is a reality check for everybody. The reality check is simply this: all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which means all have been born into some level of deception. And the fact of the matter is, you and I, before we came to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ, were in deception. And when we gave ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and started reading that Bible began to shine the rays of light into the depths of our heart, and everything about our lives was being exposed to the light, and we were now responsible for making the adjustments. And this is what it means to be fit and fully adjusted, and that is when our obedience is complete. And so the Word of God shined in us. I don't care if you were a Muslim, a Jew, a Catholic, an atheist, an agnostic, you count yourself just a good person. The truth in the Scriptures is what brought light to us. We've all been deceived. Every person on this planet is deceived that has not allowed the light of the gospel to shine in their hearts. And the Bible says in Corinthians that the God of this world has blinded their minds. The God of this world has blinded their minds. And so again, the admonition is for you and I to get fully fit for this moment in time, to be fully adjusted in the truth, in perfect alignment with the truth. Now, again, it's all about stewardship. It's all about stewardship. The government of God is a real government, just like the government in Washington, D.C., if you think they're real. But at least we have something to look at. We have governments of men on this earth. Obviously, the government in Washington, D.C. had run amok. It had been seduced by a deception back in 1961 when they began to make war with God. And the government in Washington, D.C., the rulers, the servant, public servants supposedly, but the rulers began to say, we don't want prayer. We don't. They outlawed it. Bibles. They went into a 60s revolution with the hippies and all the, you know, the psychedelics and free love, which opened the door to abortion. And the deception kept multiplying. It was like a snowball effect rolling down a hill. And then it landed in our moment, and it exploded here, and deception is everywhere. It's all here. But you see how after hundreds of years of being intact with truth, suddenly a little lie could come in, and how it could progressively grow until you find yourself in a country that's now doing every wicked, abominable thing, open the doors to every evil, wicked thing. You see, if it could happen to a government right before the eyes of all the people, it could happen to an individual. And it is just a reality that we must, as a government, steward the truth. Our responsibility on this earth is to be salt and light. That is truth. The government of God has been selected by God. You may look at a local church and it has its government of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, deacon, et cetera, but I want you to know that out in that big world, God has His government. He has His ordained, authorized ones. And they know how to shut up the heavens that it does not rain. They know how to loose the heavens that it will rain. They know how to strike the earth with as many plagues as they want to, as often as they need to, in order to bring judgment on this earth so it will wake people up. You know, if the world stays at a peace and people are in deception, there's no way to wake them up, and then they die and their eternal souls going to eternal damnation. I want you to know that crises is a really good thing. judgment is a really good thing. It's designed by God to turn people to Him. And if they reject it, if they rebel against it, if they refuse it, well, that is the eternal condition of their lives. I've got a few minutes left. Pastor Ken, do you have any thoughts or comments you'd like to share while you're still on the line?
Pastor, I'd like to reemphasize something that you said earlier, is that when Satan comes with his lies, he comes as close to the truth as possible, but yet there is a deception. And that deception can lead us down the wrong path. And you heard me use this illustration before, but it's good maybe for some of our other listeners that are on there. If I am on a firing range and I am firing at a target where I want to be, where I want to go, and I am off a little bit when I am firing that rifle or pistol, there's a good chance that I will not even hit the target. I will miss it completely. And that's exactly what Satan is trying to go ahead and do. Come as close as possible and then lead us down the path and we just get further and further and further away from the truth till we can fall into sin or fall into areas where we shouldn't be. So that's something that we all need to be aware of.
Well, that is an excellent point. I love that illustration. And I want to just kind of go out with this thought in mind. You're out there today, you're listening to this program, you're thinking, well, the devil's deceiving everybody in the whole world. And how is he doing that? Through politics, government? Listen, one of the greatest tactics of the devil against a Christian, a believer, a son or a daughter, you and I, is to get us to view ourselves in a contrary manner than to what the Word of God says about us. If the devil can get you or I to view ourselves as unworthy, insignificant, corrupt, he's won. Why? Because you are worthy through the blood of the Lamb. You have been washed in your conscience and in your soul. All your sins are forgiven. So if he can get you or I to walk in guilt, shame, condemnation about past sins, or make you to believe that you are a servant to sin in some area of your life and there's no way out, that's deception, dear friends. So it's how you view yourself, which is very important. Now, if you view yourself as being the hottest thing in the world, but you know that you're as corrupt as everything in the world, well, then you're still under the delusion. But here's the fact. You are loved. You are forgiven. God's grace has saved you. You cannot save yourself. You have been declared righteous. You are born again. You are walking in the truth and the light of God's word. You are accepted, valued, and loved as a peculiar treasure. You're a royal priesthood. You're a king and a priest in the making. So don't you ever let the devil accuse you of being other than what the Bible says you are through your faith in Jesus Christ, because that, too, is a deception. And not until your mind and your soul comes into full unwavering agreement with what Jesus Christ has done for you, will you ever come out of the storm and the wind of adversity around your life. It is imperative that you and I walk in this truth, ladies and gentlemen. And it's how we view ourselves. And how you should view yourself is according to the Word of God. And so I'm going to leave you with that. Patricia Joy Xavier is up next with Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Boy, does that talk like governmental power or what? I believe it truly is. So I'm going to leave you with a little song from our dear friend, Keith Green. And I don't know. Just have a great day. God bless. All right, let's skip through the ads and get on to the music. Praise the Lord.
shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul and guides my path in righteousness for his name's sake. Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the day.
Hello, hello. Another mighty work of God on Radio Today with Pastor Vincent Xavier on Omega Radio. And I tell you, it is beginning to get very interesting as to the truth of what is happening in our nation. It's incredible, in my way of thinking, that we are where we are and we look like little lost lambs. But we're not, because we have been bought with a price, and that price has been an incredible payment of our Lord Jesus Christ to give us the understanding and wisdom that we need in a time such as this, and those that are truly His, led by His Spirit. It has the appearance that we are destroying ourselves. That's what it looks like. It looks like this world is going through a process of destruction. And by leaving the God of the Bible out of the picture, nations that once at least profess to uphold biblical values are now beginning to destroy themselves. Let me tell you why. Particularly in the U.S. and Britain, which ought to know better, are startling what's going on. Yet millions who have been seduced by the false promises of the people in this world and the anti-God forces, ultimately led by Satan and his demons, are virtually unaware of the problem and increasingly are unaware of the God of the Bible and any understanding of Jesus Christ and his teachings. And I refer to the God of the Bible because, as most of you know, there are so many false gods today. There are literally hundreds of concepts of what God is or is not. Oh my gosh, it's so confusing. And that is exactly what the enemy of our soul desires: confusion. That's what took place in the garden, confusion. But the deep fear or awe of the true God, the Creator, the one who inspired the Bible, is almost entirely absent in the minds of most people in the world today. The great deceiver Satan's work is being produced on a level that is mind-blowing and boggling. You need to think about how changes have begun to affect the mental health and happiness of millions of people. Take a look. I mean, become observant. The stability of homes and families and the survival of the Western nations looks really kind of poor. If the U.S. and Britain are to continue and prosper, the restoration of profound respect for that God must be recovered, the true God. And frankly, I have to say, must be increased to where it ought to be. It has to be. If it doesn't become increased to where it ought to be, we're finished. But there is a remnant people, thank God, that God is calling to. And this remnant people will understand spiritual warfare and go to war on behalf of multitudes of people who have no clue that they are in bondage to Satan. So what do? We have to open our eyes to the true revelation of our Creator and His way of life. And subtly is being undermined by Satan in so much various propaganda and campaigns that it's wild. And I look at it and I go, unbelievable what people are giving over to Satan in this time that we're in without realizing they're doing it. It's God help us to be sure of what reality is. And there are end time prophetic events that are coming forth, and God of the Bible has told us it will take place. We can't afford to hide our eyes from the truth any longer. You yourself need to face the basic issues of life. We have to ask the question, why are we alive? Is there a real God? Should I obey that God or go my own way? I wouldn't take that risk for anything. Because if you go your own way, you're going into the hands of another God that became God of this world, the insane God, the one that is absolutely the most seductive, deceptive spirit that has ever existed in the universe. People do not understand. They have no understanding that this is going on. But the Apostle Paul challenged us because he said, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Do you get it? If you are veiled to the true gospel of Jesus Christ, you are perishing. And your mind, whose minds the God of this age, who is Satan, has blinded. And Satan is blinding the eyes of multitudes and multitudes of people. And they're usually very intelligent people, intellectual, that is. But they do not believe. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. It's scary, folks. Scary for those we care about, for those we love. It's frightening to know that Satan has such a stronghold on people today, and he's going to take them right with him at the end of all things, and he will rule over them, and they will be tormented, agonizingly tormented forever. Satan is the one behind the marketing of evil that we see today. And he is the one who seduces as many as he can, as you heard Pastor Vincent explain in the earlier program, which was so absolutely true. He is seeking to seduce as many as he can. And Satan and the devil has indeed blinded the vast majority of mankind from understanding the truth. There's going to be a small remnant people who will know, because their minds are going to be boggled, not only by artificial technology, but by the deception of it and of the words that are spoken by men that are so clever with words that they speak evil, but they make you believe it's the truth. I hope you're beginning to understand what I have said all along and what I wrote in my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. God may be opening your eyes and removing the blindness, and it is my hope, my great hope, that this is happening. You need to prove to yourself the right answers to the key questions of life. And you need to take a look at what has been going on. You know, so much has been going on that we don't even consider anymore. It has been just over and over again a plummet of understanding. And looking back at America's decades long divorce experiment, it sums up this. Adults suffered terribly. Children fared even worse. And many saw innocence of childhood go away. And the day parents announce divorces, they have become so incredible in this nation in the amounts of divorces. It's the sacred for life itself has been crippled. And anxiety in people are raging. Anxiety is raging, and it's possessed by anger. People are confused. They are immobilized by fear. They feel total abandonment. They don't know which way to turn. Mental health is plummeting. In fact, our children don't know what is true and what is not true. And divorce has forced them to become adults that are so absolutely bogged by the confusion of the enemy. They don't know what is up and what is down anymore. That's why men are marrying men, women are marrying women. It is all because of the great confusion of what is right and what is wrong. You know, after World War II, there's something that took place, and it was the Woman's Lib movement, and it began to propagandize women with the idea that their roles as homemakers and mothers were not fulfilling. These precious kids that come into the world weren't worthy enough to be raised and nurtured by mothers. It was not fulfilling for many of them. And ladies who did not work outside their home were increasingly belittled as slaves of men, as throwing away their great abilities. And then the traditional marital roles were attacked, and people were saying that it's antiquated, it's unhealthy, and keeping women down was the goal. And the feminist activists recognized that marriage had to be a prime target for their attack against traditional moral values. And as feminists went on to destroy the idea between men and women, they did a great job, and marriage started to fall apart. And now we have divorce, unbelievable amount of divorces. It's almost impossible to stay with someone anymore, stay married with someone anymore, unless there is a real thrust of an ability to stand and to love. And now women are lesbians, and the political revolution is on, and it's extreme. And I tell you, the idea worked. And I believe this idea wasn't just after World War II, but it was the idea of the Illuminati, the globalists, so that they may weaken this nation, weaken Europe, and slowly but surely take over the world and rule. And no longer would there be a nation that would be independent, but it would be a one world order. And then we would become their slaves. And we've seen movies like this, but I'll tell you, they were born out of some reality. And really, we have to take a look at that. and consider the situation. You know, there are prophecies that have been given, and this is in the Old Testament and in the New, and it refers directly to our present age. Our great Creator God warned us, and He said, if you do not obey me and do not observe all the commandments that I have given you, if you despise my statutes, which we have learned in our Constitution, by the way, if your soul abhors me, my judgments in what I say is right and wrong, and you do not perform all my commandments and break my covenant, what will happen to you? Terror will overcome you. Disease, wasting disease, in which we see so much of that growing right now, will overcome you. And this is what is happening. You shall sow seed in vain, and your enemies shall eat it. In other words, your enemies are going to take over your land. This is in Leviticus 26, 14 through 16. We have been warned about such a time as this, but we don't read scriptures, and we don't give it any value. Western nations at least made some show of looking to the Bible as the ultimate standard of morality. Our nation in Europe, Canada, the Western nations. But in recent decades, our educators, our politicians, and even most of our spiritual leaders, supposed spiritual leaders, have done their best to abolish the idea of a real God. They're using it as metaphysical. The true God is universal, but he is not a person in any way. He is not personalized with them. And so human reasoning began to be a standard, our standard, the standard of morality, and everyone should live by. And increasingly, the way of life is being forced on us through government dictates that is not right. And it even regulates in the workplace. It regulates in our home life. It regulates in medical care. It regulates in marriages. So many other aspects of our daily lives. And it's false. It's not true. It's not real. We've been deceived by the enemy, by Satan. And you may be shocked to learn that your Bible, my Bible, clearly reveals that before the end of this age, the United States and the British nations will actually become slaves of nations that have not weakened themselves as we have done. It's going to happen. It's been prophesied to happen once we cease from believing in the true and living God. That is the outcome that we are seeing. And, you know, we should not escape what is really going on right now, that are watching this landslide of morality in the West. And, of course, we are touching on the rest of the world with our immorality. Even pagantry has watched it. Evil's entering into our societies. And what do we do about it? How can we crush this? How do we work with this evil to stop it, to spread any further? Well, I wrote a book called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, which will give understanding of what we could do as Christians. And it is on Amazon, and you could get hold of it. It's called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights by Patricia Joy Xavier. You can look it up. You could purchase it. We can do something, even now, if we get hold of the truth and the wisdom that God has given us. And in my book, I write about getting people delivered. Bondage that has come upon them through erroneous teachings and false deceptions that have grabbed their heart through divorce and through pornography and through the means and ways of being attacked in an immoral way through even parents. And growing up by divorces that hurt their mind and spirits, and they go in a wrong direction, and they need deliverance from deception. And that's why I wrote the book. And to minister this deliverance most effectively, we have to be prepared within ourselves spiritually. And you must also have people with you who believe in the power and the authority of Jesus' name. This has to be a move of the Spirit in a manner and way that you are around people that understand the authority you have been given. And actually, the more believers that are agreeing together, the better, because agreement in the power of God manifests power. Just like it does with agreement with Satan manifests more evil. And the scriptures tell us that if you and the Lord are in agreement, 1,000 shall fall at your left and 10,000 at your right, but we will not be touched. We're not talking about people falling here. We are talking about demonic spirits, fallen angels that grab hold of individuals that fall. And it's a confirmation that we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against evil powers of darkness. And in some people, there are just a few devils. But if you have severe case, you might even find that there are quite a few, sometimes hundreds, depending on the possession of the individual. And so possession is remnant. Is not a remnant, rather, but it is moving greatly right now in this earth. People are being possessed left and right by satanic demons at work in their lives. And these demons are being unleashed in billions are being afflicted. I'm not kidding. This world is becoming very demonic and demonically controlled. And it is frightening to understand how deep it goes and will go until we get a hold of the truth, and the truth will set us free. But how do we work in such a time as this? We must become deliverers. We must begin to understand the power that we have been given as Christians. We must receive our inheritance, and we must move on in a greater way that we have. We must begin to move in a way that we will ask individuals to come in, and we can help them, those we see in bondage, those that are anxious and worried and concerned continuously because they have not the truth. They don't understand how to stand. We must ask them if they would like to be delivered. And we would have the ability to do so by becoming the children of God that we have been called to be. And then we move forward and we tell individuals or ask individuals that we see that are in such terrible afflictions, in sickness, in fear, and you're going to see more and more of it. Come, let me help you in this. Can I do so? Would you be willing to receive deliverance? I can help you get rid of demonic presence in your life that these are bringing you into bondage and delusions and such fears. I can see it upon you. And if they say yes to you, you're beginning to do a work that God has called you to do from the foundations of the earth. And that is to be a light to this world. And then you should select an appropriate location to conduct deliverance. You can go to the home of the person that needs the deliverance. But if you do, you have to be sure to bind those spirits that are in that home before you begin your work on deliverance. Or you can conduct deliverance in an open meeting where there are Christians involved. And they do need to understand what you're doing so that they don't interfere with the work of God. But if you're in a true Christian church, you should be able to do that. And not be afraid, because God is on your side. My husband and I have found that the most convenient place to conduct deliverance is in your own home, if you're willing to do so. And over the years, we have lost count of the number of people God has set free while we sat around our kitchen table or on our living room couch and just. And deliverance requires the absolute moving of the Holy Spirit of God. It should be done in an atmosphere where neither the deliverance minister nor the person being delivered from devils can be distracted and by thoughtless, uninformed people. So if you're in a place where they have no idea what you're doing and they're uninformed, hard to do, but it could still be done. Jesus did it. But you have to have great faith in this, or else bring them into your home. Or by the attempts of the satanic host to distract your faith and hinder the work of the Holy Spirit, you must be observing and must understand how it works. I believe that few people really know how to do it, and I would like to speak to you more of it tomorrow. So if you are willing to listen, call in. I will be here. God bless you, Pastor Vincent and Patricia Xavier.